This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some hauntings don't end when you move. They don't stay behind with the old wallpaper and the creaking floorboards. They follow you. They settle into your bones until you wonder if the places were ever haunted at all, or if it's been you all along. For one witness, the story begins at 14 in the most ordinary of settings. The shower, steam fogging the glass, the sound of water drowning out the rest of the world. Safe, ordinary, until it wasn't. A cold breeze slipped through the steam, not just cool air, cold, sharp, unnatural. At first it was brushed off, houses are drafty, right? But then it came again, and with it, a weight in the stomach. A warning, something primal that says, you're not alone. He grabbed his towel, rushed through, drying off every nerve on edge. And then it happened. From the right side of his mother's bed, something unseen. Something crouched low in the dark, let out a growl. Not the snarl of a dog. Not the groan of a house. A guttural, angry growl that vibrated in the chest and left no doubt that it was directed at him. He ran, but the haunting didn't stop there. That night, the bed began to shake. At first, he thought maybe it was his own nerves making it move, the paranoia of a frightened teenager. But when he convinced his brother to sleep beside him, the truth came out. His brother woke before him, shaking him awake with wide eyes. The bed was moving on its own. After that, there was no more sleeping alone. He, his brother, and his sister all dragged their blankets into their mother's room. They closed the door, they locked it, and still from the other side of that door came the sounds. Whispers threading through the hall, shadows moving past the frame, the clatter of objects shifting in empty rooms. One day, home alone, he brought the family dog inside for protection. He didn't dare walk the length of the house alone, not anymore. When he went to the back bathroom, he made the dog wait at the door, and then a crash from his bedroom. Loud. Violent. His dog bolted, claws scrambling against the floor, desperate to get away. And no matter what he did afterward, the dog refused to go back to that part of the house. It's one thing to feel haunted yourself. It's another when the animals confirm it. Animals don't lie. When the family finally moved, he thought the nightmare might be over. But then the neighbors began to talk. After they'd gone, others started hearing things too. Whispers, shifts in the empty rooms. Whatever had lived in that house, it wasn't done. But that was only the beginning. The family's next home was supposed to be a safe haven, a friend's house, familiar, ordinary. For a while, it seemed fine, but then the dreams started. Nightmares of being attacked, pinned, unable to speak or move. Paralysis in the dark, something leaning over the bed. Each night worse than the last. And then came the confirmation. A friend stayed over, a friend who knew nothing of these experiences. He didn't get the warning, didn't get the stories. He walked in blind, and late one night, standing in the hallway, he froze. He saw something, a figure. The figure of a black man standing in the hall, leaning just enough to look into the room. When he asked, "Is your house haunted?" the blood ran cold. Because he'd seen exactly what the witness had been trying, to ignore. The denial cracked. Soon after, another visitor, a friend's friend, walked through the house and recoiled. He said he could feel it immediately. Not just activity, evil. He said there were dogs here, spirits of animals, others too. And he was right. Because the dogs made themselves known, two of them. The first time, the witness caught a glimpse of white legs and paws moving past. He thought it was his own dog until he realized the dog was nowhere near. The second time, he was bent at the fridge when he turned his head and came face to face with a white muzzle inches away. A spirit dog watching him. And for the first time in all of this, he didn't feel fear. The dogs weren't menacing. They were simply there, guardians perhaps, or echoes of lives long past. But the house had more to give. Knocking, scratching, sounds clawing from the outside walls, nights punctured by the sound of a vortex, a roaring, swirling rush of air in the backyard. His dog would bark and snarl, body stiff with terror. And somehow none of his family stirred, no matter how loud the barks, how frantic the noise, they slept as though under a spell. He lay awake night after night, too afraid to close his eyes, waiting for daylight to save him. It wasn't until someone mentioned the land itself that the final piece clicked. A friend's friend claimed he just knew this place had been a landfill once. That detail sounded ridiculous until he remembered a neighbor boy years earlier saying the same thing. Suddenly, it wasn't rumor. It was fact. And everything made a little too much sense. This wasn't just a house. It was a wound in the earth, and wounds bleed. Some people say hauntings are tied to walls and rooftops, to the timber and the nails that soak up fear like a sponge. But the longer his experiences went on, the more it seemed clear. This wasn't about the houses. It was the land itself, the ground he walked on. And if the ground is poisoned, you don't escape by moving down the street. You carry it with you. Even after leaving that house built on landfill soil, the fear didn't fade. It shifted, mutating into something worse. Nighttime became unbearable. The insomnia set in. Nights spent staring into the dark, body tense, mind waiting for the next sound. The phobia grew, too, of intruders, of spirits, of being watched. He began to position himself only against walls when sleeping, back pressed to something solid. Because if something came in the night, he couldn't bear the thought of it coming from behind. And it wasn't just about sleep. It was about survival. He needed an animal wherever he lived, a dog at least, some creature to act as a sentinel. Because if there was something there, the animals would know before he ever did. That instinct became his shield. Without it, he felt exposed. Even moving into apartments by a cemetery didn't break the pattern. Maybe it was coincidence. Maybe it was something darker at play, a kind of magnetism drawing him always to the places where the veil was thinnest. But there he was, raising a daughter within sight of gravestones. And that's when the fear twisted into something more terrifying. Because it wasn't him this time, it was her. Sometimes in their quiet apartment, his little girl would laugh into the air, eyes fixed on something no one else could see. Sometimes she would just stare, silent, unblinking, tracking something invisible. He couldn't shake the thought that she was seeing the things he had spent his whole life trying to run from. The idea that this curse, if that's what it was, might not end with him. The haunting wasn't confined to homes, either. There was a night, years earlier, when a boyfriend had dragged him to Rockville Cemetery in Fairfield, California, late after dark, just to see what would happen. He remembers stepping onto the soil and feeling it immediately. That pressure in the chest, the prickling at the back of the neck, the sense that the air was thicker here, that every tree, every headstone was watching. He didn't need to see an apparition. He didn't need to hear a voice. The weight of the place was enough to drive him back into the car. He demanded to leave, refusing to walk another step. Locals whispered the same thing. Rockville Cemetery was a place of shadows, a place you didn't go unless you wanted to carry something home with you. And he never went back, not once. But it didn't matter, because even if he avoided places like that, the hauntings never avoided him. And this is where the story shifts from external to internal. Because when you live in fear long enough, when you sleep with your back against the wall, when you believe there's something waiting every time you close your eyes, you start to unravel. Insomnia turned into something darker. He found himself lying awake until daybreak, until sunlight finally bled into the room, finally safe enough to let his eyes close. Night became a thing to endure, not a time to rest. The body suffers when you live like that. The mind frays, and sometimes you start to wonder if the spirits are feeding on exactly that. You can only live in fear for so long before it becomes part of who you are. He didn't just have haunted houses, he became haunted himself. The insomniac's body, the wary eyes scanning every shadow, the mind conditioned to expect the worst. The problem is, when you expect the worst long enough, sometimes the worst shows up. He kept replaying the sound of that growl in his mother's bedroom. The bed shaking in the night, the dog bolting from rooms no animal should have feared. Years later, it still clung to him, stitched into memory. And he began to wonder, what if these weren't random hauntings? What if the thread tied them all together? There was the landfill house, the Rockville Cemetery, the apartment by the cemetery where his daughter giggled into thin air. The pattern wasn't location. It was him. Or maybe it was something following him from place to place, waiting, watching, never letting go. And that's the part that gnaws the most. The possibility that once you've opened that door, once you've heard the growl, once you've felt the bed lurch under you, the invitation can't be rescinded. The spirits know you now. You can change your home, you can change your town, but you can't change the fact that you once looked into the dark and it looked back. So he adapted. He built his defenses. He slept against the wall always. He surrounded himself with animals, sentinels who could sense what he couldn't. He built habits the way soldiers do, rituals of survival, and he learned to live with the gnawing truth that when the lights go out, he is never truly alone. Sometimes he still hears scratching. Sometimes the knocking returns. Sometimes, in the middle of the night, he feels that presence hovering just past the edge of sight. And sometimes his daughter's laughter cuts through the air, sharp as a knife aimed at nothing at all. And maybe the most horrifying part isn't what he's seen or what he's heard. It's what he doesn't know, because if spirits can follow us, if land can poison us, if curses can thread their way through generations, then what happens to the children? That's the weight he carries now, not just fear for himself, but for her. He can't unlive what's happened. He can only keep the dog close, keep his back to the wall, and hope that whatever watches him from the dark doesn't decide to reach out again. Because once you've been marked, once you've been noticed, once you've run from a growl in an empty room, you never really escape. You learn to live with it. You endure, but you never, ever forget. And sometimes in the silence before sleep, you realize something chilling. Maybe the houses were never haunted at all. Maybe it was you.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.